Regardless of whether U.S. troops are allowed to move through Turkey, planners can draw on a massive array of aircraft, ground forces, and other military hardware deployed in other countries and oceans. The number of available troops in the area has grown from about 20,000 in recent years to more than 200,000. There are also more than three times as many aircraft. Retired Major General Robert Scales served more than 30 years in the Army and wrote the official Army account of the Gulf War. He says there are few modern precedents of equal troop buildups that did not lead to war. The last, he says, happened in 1939, just after Germany invaded Poland.
Both France and Britain moved up to the border with Germany and conducted what was then called the Sitzkrieg for 10 months. And that period of inactivity, of course, culminated in the German attack in France in May 1940. But other than that, nothing of this magnitude certainly comes to mind, Bob.
Does the sheer momentum of this buildup make it more likely that there'll be war?
It's hard to say. I mean, obviously, the decision to go to war is always a diplomatic and a political decision. In terms of just the mechanics of it, of course, from a purely military perspective, anything that can be turned on can be turned off. Anything that can be started can be reversed, technically speaking.
What's the effect on the troops of this waiting?
Well, it depends on how long you wait. Remember, the American military is a very disciplined force and used to obeying orders. If it lasts a month or lasts 2 months or however long, I think it would have very little effect. I mean, you're always going to get the grousing that you get from soldiers who are idle, but not many of these soldiers are idle, because when you move into a theater like this, sort of on the fly, there's an enormous amount of work to be done. I assure you that there is 2 months' worth of work remaining in the region for soldiers who are just arriving. This is a very, very complicated operation, and it involves people from generals through privates getting ready to conduct the operation. So there's certainly plenty to do in the region to keep soldiers busy.
I saw the photos the other day of the tents that had been blown down by the wind. I think the weather might start getting to them.
Well, the weather. I mean, this is not an unpleasant period in that region of the world, but beginning about mid-April, the temperature starts to rise dramatically, and it gets pretty darn hot in that part of the world. But don't forget now, the American military, and the Army in particular, routinely trains in temperatures at the National Training Center well over 100 degrees. The American military is used to operating in the heat and is probably better at that than almost any other climactic condition. So we can't make too much of the variables of weather and terrain at this late stage.
Do you think the troops are clear on their mission?
Oh, I think so. America has been looking at this region of the world now for 13 years, and the young soldiers clearly understand the mission and what needs to be done. I remember in the first Gulf War, commanders turning to their soldiers and saying that the road home was the road that enveloped Kuwait, and I'm sure commanders are telling the soldiers right now that the road home is the road through Baghdad.
Do you think the commanders have their plan in place now? They know exactly what they're going to do when they get the order?
Oh, I think so. But remember now, there's an old saying in the military that no plan survives the first shot. And one of the marks of a great military is the ability, to use a football analogy, to do audibles at the line of scrimmage, to, as soon as the campaign begins to unfold, look at the enemy, take the reads, see what he's doing, and adapt and change the plan on the fly. That's the mark of a flexible, innovative military organization like the American military.
Retired Major General Robert Scales ended his military career as Commandant of the United States Army War College. He is now Senior Vice President of Sylvan Learning Systems.